Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, God.
Thank you,
thank
Jesus.
You, Lord God, for this
thank
time
you, Lord.
Of fellowship. Thank you for this time of just being able to call on your holy and righteous name. In the mighty name
yes,
of Jesus,
Lord.
I pray. Amen.
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 A song of praise. A song of praise, Sister Lynn Gaines.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm going to sing this evening. I lift the praises of
Jesus.
Yes, sir. Did you say something?
This is Pastor Jennings.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, right. Good evening, Pastor Jennings. Good evening.
Good evening, Pastor Jennings.
Good evening.
Good evening. Greetings to all. Greetings to all. I also have a friend from Detroit who's also listening in. This is going to also be Sister Bobby Jean Goodcraft on the line.
Amen. Thank you for
praise
being on.
Lord.
Amen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Amen.
Well, we're just now getting ready to sing a song of praise. So I'm going to sing, I lift the praises up to you. I lift the praises up to you. Here we go. I've had some good days and some struggles along the way. Then one night I stayed up walking the floor all night long. Yeah, yeah. It seems no matter what you do for others, you always get knocked down. I'm getting back up because greater is He that lives in me. Oh, yes, He does. Everything I've been through, everything I've been through, I lift the praises up to you. Oh, all of the tears I've had to cry, all of the questions I've asked you why, I lift the praises up. I lift the praises up to you. Lord, sometimes we don't understand what you have in your master plan.
Yes, yes.
But I have to trust that, Lord, you know what's best for me. Oh, yes, you do. You said you wouldn't put more on me than I am able to bear. So I want to thank you, Lord, and I'm going to raise my hands up in the air. Oh, everything I've been through, everything I've been through, I lift the praises up to you. Hey, all of the tears I've had to cry, all of the questions I ask you why, I lift the praises up. I lift the praises up to you. Oh, yeah. Every trial, every tear, every heartache, yeah, through the years, I lift the praises up. When I'm weak, you make me strong and give me courage to face it so I can praise is up to you. Oh, all of the tears I've had to cry, all of the questions I ask you why, I lift up praises up. I lift up praises up to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I lift the praises up to
Hallelujah.
You. Hallelujah. All of the questions I ask you why, I lift the praises up to you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for taking us there. Amen. So now we are ready for our last walk in the Word for 2024. God, Dr. Dale. And Dr. Dale,
amen. Amen. Want to say good evening to each of you. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, for whence cometh my help. For my help, your help, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This evening, I will tell you that I am glad to be amongst my sisters and brothers one more time. This is our last Tuesday, our last walk in the Word for 2024. And I will say, Deacon Clarence, God has brought us. We started out in January in the book of James with Minister Kathy Benson. Then we went to 1 Peter with Minister Ronald Bonds and 2 Peter and Jude with Pastor Charles Story and Pastor Albert Malone. And then the Lord had us to walk through the Word this summer through the book of Romans. And you know what? Then in the midst of that, we had an election that occurred. And we talked from the topic, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? And I'm so glad tonight that I get an opportunity to do the last Tuesday walk in the Word. My brothers and sisters came alongside me in 2024 because of our scheduling and other things that was going on. But tonight I get an opportunity to do our last walk in the Word. Again, I want to welcome all of you, those that are visiting with us on tonight. And I want to let you know how much we love you and appreciate you joining with us this evening. I'm going to ask if you would please put your phones on mute. Put your phones on mute this evening, for we're getting a little bit of feedback. We know you want to be here, and certainly we want you here this evening. This evening, Deacon Connor, I want to simply talk from Psalm 37. Psalm 37. If time allows us, because I want the other preachers and testimonies and songs to come tonight, if it allows us, we'll get over to Psalm 24. But the reason why I want to close out with Psalm 37, because we're going to need to open up 2025 with it as well. Because God is letting us know through the penman, David, what we must do in the coming days, what we must do in the coming weeks, in the coming month, and the coming year. He wants to remind us that we don't need, as kingdom children, kingdom citizens, ambassadors, sons and daughters of God, that we don't need to worry. We don't need to fret, because God got it all in control. I don't care how or how CBS or NBC or other social media outlets may share this or that. I want to remind us, as children of God, God got it under control. Let me remind you something tonight before we go, and we're going to walk through, so you got your pen and your paper, because this is just a little bit of taste of Bible study on tonight. I want to remind us what Psalm 20. 24 tells us. Deacon Carter, we would just flip over in our Bibles tonight. Psalm 24 reminds me of something that was also penned by David. It says that the earth is who? It's the Lord's, and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall what? He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek thy face, even Jacob. Tonight, I want to remind us as children of God, in the days to come, we must seek the face of God. What does Matthew 6:33 tells us? Seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. So as we face the ending of 2024 and we look into and peer over into 2025, I want to remind us this evening, we need to write it in big letters. We must first seek the kingdom of God and seek his righteousness. Go with me over to Psalms 37 so that we can go ahead on and move on out the way for our other preachers to come and songs to be sung and testimonies to be given. Deacon Connor, when we look at Psalm 37 tonight, it's a psalm that we're going to be looking at as we look in 2025 as the Lord allows us to cross over. When we look at Psalm 37 tonight, I want to remind us that this particular psalm was penned by David. This psalm, Psalm 37, is filled with instruction for God's people. Instruction, that means it's something that is going to be told to us that we need to walk in obedience in, that we need to walk with the Holy Spirit leading us. When God gives his people instruction, what that means is that he wants us again to be ordered by his word, and he wants our lives to be aligned to his word, and he wants us to abide in his will. Anytime somebody gives you instructions and good instructions, that means that they want the best for you. And so God is giving us some instructions tonight in Psalm 37 that was penned by, yes, David. David, the shepherd boy. David, who became the king. So Deacon Connor, my sisters and brothers, my guests on tonight, it was evidently written late in the life of David. Why do you say that, Minister Deborah? Well, when you go over to verse number 25 in Psalm 37, Minister Virginia, it says, David says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. So the commentators say that, yes, this was penned by David. Yes, it's filled with instruction for God's people, kingdom citizens, ambassadors, disciples of God. Yes, they believe that it was written later in his life because of verse number 25. But notice there's something that is reoccurring through this particular psalm tonight, which we will read some of its verses. A reoccurring theme is who will inherit the earth. We see that in verse 9. We see it in verse 11. We see it in verse 22, verse 29, and verse 34. And the answer of the psalmist is one of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. From the context of this psalm, we might understand the beatitude to refer to blessings in this life for those who put their trust in God. I'm going to tell you all tonight, Matthew 6:33 makes it very clear to me that I am to seek the kingdom, as I said earlier, the kingdom of God, and seek his righteousness. I must also, Deacon Carter, not only put my trust in God, not only must I seek his kingdom and seek his righteousness, but I also, this morning, I got a nugget this morning from a Brother Malone, I must cultivate my faithfulness. Yes, I got to be faithful. I got to be a faithful disciple. I have to walk in integrity, Pastor Vincent, if I want the things of God. Too many of us think that the things of God are the trinkets of this world. I tell people when I look at Christmas, the first part of Christmas, which is Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. But when I look at that M-A-S, I see a mass accumulation of stuff. We got a mass accumulation of stuff. But let me tell you what God wants us to accumulate. He wants us to have more love. He wants us to have forgiveness. He wants us to have a giving spirit. He wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit that is spoken of in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. So when I look at Psalm 37 tonight, that the psalm begins with a series of exhortations directed to the righteous. Who is the righteous, my sisters and brothers? The righteous, the children of God, are those who have made the Romans 10, 9 and 10 sincere declaration. Not only that, but they are those who are connected to the true vine, John 15. They are the ones whose mind is being renewed by the word of God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. They are also the ones that allows the word of God to dwell in them richly, Colossians 3 and 16. Who are the righteous? The righteous, those that trust in the Lord and not fret or be angry when we see the wicked prosper. It continues in Psalms 37 with it opens up seeing a contrast between the wicked and the righteous, illustrating the futility of the wicked and the steadfastness of the righteous. Let me encourage somebody tonight that in the midst of, if we cross over to 2025, Deacon Carter, we got to be steadfast. We got to be firm. We got to be immovable, standing on the word of God. We cannot let what the stock market do, what the S&P does. We can't look at what my IRA or my 401k might be doing. But guess what? I'm going to be looking at God, because he's already told me that he is the creator. He is the all-sufficient one. He is my Jehovah Jireh. It is not my check that comes to the mail or come to the bank, but it is God that is my source. And we as the people of God got to stand up to the world and let the world know that my God is all-sufficient and my God will take care of his children. Well, what have I told you all this year? That God has never been taken to court for child support. He has never been stood before a judge to ask about paying his child support. God takes care of his children. And let me tell you something, Deacon Carter, if he took care of me January the 1st of 2024, don't you know he's going to take care of me as long as I'm here on this earth? God will take care of me. So when I look at Psalm 37 tonight, I see that we, as those of us that are God's children, those of us that are walking in righteousness, and let me say something tonight, the righteousness, I can claim the righteousness of God because of the finished work of Jesus at Calvary. It ends, Psalm 37 ends, Mother Neal, with counsel for one to do good and to depart from evil. To wait on the Lord, Sister Ruby, and keep his way. Let me say something. In 2025, we are going to have to learn how to wait on God. We can't get in a hurry. We don't need to try to get ahead of God. We don't have to be worried about this and that. What we have to learn as disciples of Christ is learning how to wait on God and keep his way. See, it's not our way. It's not Burger King. It's not I drive up and I tell them what I want. It's a matter of, Lord, what is it that you want from me? We have to live lives, Pastor Jennings, lives that are surrendered, lives that are submitted, lives that walk in obedience to God's word, his will, and his way. Allowing he, Holy Spirit, that lives on the inside of us, Acts 1:8. I got the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of me. What did Jesus have a conversation with his father? And he said, Father, you know I'm coming back. I'm going to be seated at your right hand. I'm going to be interceding for them. But they need someone like me to be with them, to dwell, not come up on them, but live on the inside of them. And God sent he, Holy Spirit, to live inside of the disciples, of the ambassadors, and the citizens of the kingdom. Oh, we got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. And if we got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, that means we got power. We have power. He said in his word that we would do greater works. Oh, the only way we can do greater works is that we are surrendered, we are submitted, and we allow he, Holy Spirit, to work inside of us. So when I look at Psalms 37, and I'll just read a few verses tonight, and my time is almost gone. When I look at verse number 1, it says, Deacon Carla, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Look at verse number 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers, y'all, will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yes, yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. I'm going to stop there tonight because I want us to read. Let Psalm 37 be one of your major reads this coming year. The end of this year and this coming year, let it be one of your major reads, because God is providing us some instructions as children of God. Because many people are depicting the future to be dim, to be dark, to be hard for us. But I want to tell you all something. I'm a child of the King, and I don't have to look at the darkness. I don't have to look at the blightness. All I have to do is keep my eyes stayed and focused on Jesus. Notice what the psalmist tells us, Deacon Connor, as we open this last walk in the Word for 2024. David, as he pens this psalm and gives us instructions for us to live by. The first thing he tells us, the first exhortation is that we are not to envy evildoers. We see that right there in verses 1 and 2. He tells us, do not fret nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Because guess what's going to happen to them, you all? They shall soon do what? Wither and be cut away. Yes, there are evildoers all around us. There are some on your job. There are some in this place or that place. But what are we instructed as children of God? Sister Maddie Freeman, we are instructed here. The exhortation is that we are not to fret, that we are not to panic, we are not to get upset, but we are and we are not to be envious of the workers of sin, the workers of iniquity, the workers of those that do things underhanded, because they shall soon wither and be cut away. Here's the second exhortation, Sister Ruby, and my brothers and sisters tonight. The second exhortation is that we are to trust in the Lord. And we ought to do what? Do good. I know we see people doing evil. I know we see people doing things that are not right. But what is our exhortation? What are we told to do as children of God? If we're going to lead somebody to Christ, they need to see us, Deacon Connor, doing what is right. Even when folks do us wrong, the Bible says, love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. What does it look like? Everybody gonna love somebody that loves them. Everybody gonna give to somebody that gives to them. But what God is saying, if you gonna be different, if you gonna be a light in a dark world, you can't do what the world does. You got to do it another way. You got to love them that throw lemons at you. You got to make lemonade, but then you got to share that lemonade with them. Notice what God is telling us. Notice how we are going to be blessed. Let me tell you something. Our bless is attached to our giving. Can you give some love? Can you give some forgiveness? Can you share some joy with somebody else? Notice this, Deacon Connor. Not only are we given an exhortation not to fret and not to be envious of those that work in darkness, work in sin, because they're going to soon be cut away. They're going to soon be gone. Not only are we told to trust in the Lord, we are told to do what? To do that which is good. What does Proverbs 3:5-6 tell us to do? It tells us that we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Let me give you a third exhortation before I close it out tonight. Notice this. Not only are we told that we are to trust in the Lord, not only are we told that we are to do good, but notice what we get from it. We will dwell in the land, and we will be able to feed on God's faithfulness. What did David say? I once was young, but what? Now I'm old. When I can feed on God's faithfulness, what that means is that God is faithful. God is faithful in famine. Yes. God is faithful. Yes. Let me tell y'all something. I don't have to worry because I know that my God is going to be faithful to me. Here's the other thing. Here's another exhortation that I see here in this Psalm 37. Sister Virginia, we are told to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. Let me put a pin there. Let me say something here. When he says he'll give us the desires of our heart, what he means is that my heart, Deborah's heart now is turned to God's heart. And whatever God desires for me, I'm going to desire the same thing. I should should not want anything that is outside of the will of God. I shouldn't want anything that is outside of the word of God. So notice this. That's why the psalmist says, he says, he will give you the desires of your heart because you got a new heart. You got a transformed mind. You got a renewed mind, a mind that says, whatever God wants for me, that's what I want. And if it's not in line to what God wants, I don't want it. I'm so glad tonight that the psalmist tells me, he tells me, if you delight yourself, Deborah, delight yourself in the Lord, do the things of God, he will give you. Because now you are so aligned to him. You are so aligned to his word. You're so aligned to wanting to carry out his will, carry out his values, carry out his principles, that he will give you the desires of your heart. Let me give you another exhortation before I go.
The next exhortation,
Deacon Connor, is that we must commit our way to what? To the Lord. What does that mean? Commit. That means I'm willing. I'm saying, Lord, I am making a covenant with you. I'm committing my way. It's no longer my way, but it's your way. Commit your way to who? To the Lord. And do what? Again, he tells me, put your trust, Deborah, in him. Why? Because there are going to be some false prophets that's going to come. There are going to be some false teachers that's going to come. There's going to be somebody that's going to come and try to scam you. But notice what he said. You got to commit your way. And to commit my way means I got to immerse myself in the word of God. I got to bathe my mind in the word of God. I don't know about y'all, but y'all are perfect. But I'm in the process.
Sometimes some things
come across my mind that is not of God. And I have to bathe my mind in the word of God. I have to go back and say, wait a minute now. That ain't what God said. God didn't tell me to think like that. God's not showing me. He said, think on these things that are what? Are aligned to his word. Isn't that what it says over in Philippians? So notice this. The psalmist David says, Deborah, another instruction from our Father is you got to commit your way. That means commit your life. Commit your living. Commit your speech. Commit your conduct, your way to the Lord, and keep on trusting in him. Notice what it says. The psalmist says, he shall bring your plans to pass. Jeremiah 29:11 fits perfectly right there. Not only that, he shall bring forth your righteousness and what? And justice. That's what we got to do. We got to commit our whole life to him. We got to say to him, and let me tell y'all something, we got to do more than just sing the song, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. We got to actually do it. We could read the word, but the word of God said we must become what? Doers of the word. I must be a doer of what the word says. If the word says love, I got to be a doer. If the word says forgive, I got to forgive. Let me keep going. Here's the other thing I want to give. Another exhortation tonight is we must rest. We must rest in the Lord. And wait patiently, what? For him. Too many times we want to take things in our own hands. We want to get ahead of God. We said, Lord, you just taking too long. I think I can handle this. Notice what the psalmist said. In 2025, you all, we are going to have to rest in what? The Lord. Now, this resting does not mean or it does not take away our responsibility to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. We are responsible to go ye therefore. And we are to be what? Making what? other disciples. We are to be teaching them. But this resting in the Lord means that I'm going to let God handle it. I'm going to let God take care of it. I'm not going to worry about how they do it, what the evil person is doing, what the envious person is doing. I'm going to let God handle it because he told us in his word, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So he tells us, Deacon Connor, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of the prosperous or the wicked. We see that they getting all the boats and the houses. They getting all of the, seem like they making all the money. They doing, but notice what the psalmist keeps telling us tonight. Do not be envious. Do not fret. Do not panic because you see them momentarily being prosperous. But notice that prosperity is coming through stepping on somebody else's neck. It's coming through hurting somebody, robbing somebody, taking what they have. But notice God, notice the psalmist keeps saying, because he knows what culture we live in. He knows what greed would do. He knows what the love of money would do. And so he tells us, take your eyes off of that and put your eyes and keep your eyes stayed on God. Continue to be committed to God and watch God bless you. Oh, I know I'm going to be blessed in 2025.
Oh, yeah.
I know I am. Notice what else he exhorts us to do, and I'm going to close it out. He tells us to cease from anger, wrath, and worry because it only causes harm. If you keep your mind watching them, look at how they getting it. Look what they doing. If you keep your eyes on them, you keep your mind on them, it upsets you. It makes you angry. You start worrying about this or worrying about. Notice what the psalmist said. It causes danger. It causes harm to us as disciples. As a matter of fact, it causes harm to our witness. I don't want my witness to be affected by looking over the fence at somebody else getting something when I know they took from somebody else. They did it in a wicked way. Because the word of God already told me, look at verse number 9-17. Uh-huh. The wicked shall be cut off and be no more. It was as though they never existed, Deacon Connor. You and I have experienced some of this before in our careers, and we've seen people do some wicked things. We've seen people to promote other people that didn't even qualify for the job or do this and that. But now we don't even know where those people are. We don't know what happened to them. But notice what God said. God said, if you just keep your eyes stayed on me, I'm going to bless you. Whether you get promoted on that job or not, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make the refrigerator go longer. I'm going to make your car go longer. I'm going to make this go longer. I'm going to make you're going to be healthy. You're going to be able to go the distance, go even further than us. Notice God is saying to us, take your eyes off of all the folks and put your eyes on me.
Yes.
He said that the wicked going to be cut off and be no more, while those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. While the meek shall inherit the earth and enjoy an abundance of peace, the wicked shall be defeated despite their plots against the just and gnashing of teeth. The Lord laughs because he sees their day coming. He says, despite their weapons against the poor and the righteous, which they have drawn to cast down and slay, which shall enter their own heart. What it says is it's going to turn back on them and be broken. Know this tonight. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. I want us to know tonight where we must be steadfast as children of God and to know that we have an inheritance, you all, an inheritance that shall be forever. Yes, tonight we can know that the righteous, that we are to show mercy and we are to give mercy. Notice this, that we will be blessed by the Lord and that we shall inherit the earth. How do I know it? Because the earth belongs to my Heavenly Father. He is the owner. He is the creator. He is the all-sufficient one. And notice this, the steps of a good man The steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. The Lord delights in our way. Even though we may fall, we are not utterly cast down. For the Lord, you all, the Lord will uphold us with his hand. So don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry tonight. Don't worry about what CBS and NBC and all these things. What we got to do is go in our prayer closet and have a little talk. What did they say? Have a little talk with Jesus. We got to tell him all about it. And wait on the Lord, you all. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Because he said he's going to exalt us. In verses 34 through 36, he's going to exalt us. We're going to inherit the land. And we will see. And I want you all to know that our future is bright. Our future has light because light lives in us. Tonight, we have a bright future. Well, all we have to do is wait on the Lord and keep his way. All we have to do is trust him. All we have to do is seek his face. All we have to do is commit our way to the Lord and trust him. And then, Sister Virginia, we got to rest in the Lord. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. You ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Oh, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. You ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings. You ought to count your many blessings and see what the Lord has done. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless God.
Hallelujah.
Bless
Hallelujah.
God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen. Amen, Dr. Dale. My little microwave. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm. Ooh.
Ooh.
What a word. Right. What a word.
Amen. Amen. So, Sister Carolyn Felton, are you on the line?
I'm on the line.
All right.
I'm on the line. I just want to say that 15 years ago, I got a report from a man, from a doctor, that told me that I was sickened unto death and I would not survive my condition.
I know.
But thank God for God's report. Mm-hmm. And then I've learned that my career is what I'm paid for, but my purpose is what I'm made for. And God has been there through this whole journey, and I'm grateful.
All right.
I'm
all
grateful.
Right. All right. All right. That's a good testimony. Amen. Amen.
Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Yes, yes.
Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my hands and say,
yes.
Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Yes.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Hallelujah. Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Yes.
Yes.
Because of who you are, I will lift my hands and say, because of who you are, I give you praise. Jehovah Jireh, my provider.
Yes, Lord.
Jehovah Nissi, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Yes, Lord.
Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Shalom, hallelujah, my Prince of Peace. And I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Yes, yes.
Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you.
Sing, sing.
Because of who you are. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Come on.
Amen. Thank you so much. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Worship you because of who you are. We have to do it. Oh, y'all messing with me. Come on now. We have a special testimony coming from Sister Ruby Dudley. Sunshine, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. God's grace and mercy. As you all know, I had surgery in November. During my surgery, went ever since I woke up, there was no pain. I have not had any pain in my hip where I had surgery at. And that's because of God's grace and mercy.
All right.
After 2 weeks, and I went back for my checkup. That was on a Thursday. That Friday, my brother took seriously ill.
Mm-hmm.
But because of God's grace and mercy, he had people planted in my life that they took good care of my brother. They stayed with him day. They stayed with him night.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so grateful that God loves me enough to put those kind of people in my life, people I can depend on, people that not only, you know, seed about me, but took care of my brother.
Yes.
And not only that, as my brother passed, they have still been there. And I'm just so grateful that he loves me so much that he just put people there to just love on me.
Yes.
It just blows my mind that little old me can be loved so much that he hears my cry. He wipes my tears.
Yes.
He mends my broken heart.
Oh, yes.
And I'm just grateful tonight because, as Sister Carolyn was singing the song, because of who he is. I am grateful. I am blessed beyond measures. And that's my testimony.
Amen. Ben, I'm sure most of us know where you have come and what you have gone through. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for that testimony. So we're going to be blessed again tonight with a sermon, Walking the Word, from Minister Virginia Kennedy. Amen. Amen. Are you on, Sister Virginia?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm here.
We're ready to hear from you. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. What about you? Yes, thank you, God, for life.
I'm putting one foot in front of the other. Amen. Still walking in the grace of God. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I would just like to thank Milner Devlin and all the people who is a part of her ministry for allowing me to be one of the speakers for tonight. I praise God for that. It's been a while since I've been on, but I do thank each and every one for showing your gratitude towards me and to ask me to speak tonight. I've been under weather, and I had a procedure here back in August, and it's giving me a lot of trouble, and so I've been absent from the church, and so I solicit y'all prayer for me, and that God will heal this leg, you know, so I could be able to walk again. I'm having problem walking, you know, and so I just ask that this minute pray for me for healing. And as I join into the word, I ask y'all pray that God give me power to speak what he has given me and give me boldness and to open our heart to receive it.
Yes.
So let us go into the word. I'm coming from, if you have your Bible, I'm coming from the fifth chapter of John, the first verse through the ninth verse. And let me pray. Thank you, O God, for this day. I praise you, O God, for this another opportunity to stand before your people, dear God. I pray, O God, in Jesus' name, dear God, that you will use me mightily, dear God. That you, O God, will decrease me and increase you, dear God. That, O God, that I speak boldness or your word that you have given to me, dear God. I bind the devil and all his hosts, Lord, and do submit this preaching to you. Speak, O God, for I listen. In Jesus' name I pray. And the word reads, after John 5:1, first verse to the ninth. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem about the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Indeed lay a great multitude of infant folk, a blind halt willer, waiting for the trouble, for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season to the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another step down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. With the Lord's help tonight, I would like to talk about possessing power and authority in your life in 2025. That is possessing power and authority in your life for the coming year, 2025.
Preach, preacher.
Right now, we're about to learn how to possess a power and authority in our life. Now, if you think about it, we're living in a society where the system is basically designed to help those who can help themselves. If you think about it, the rich just keep getting richer, and the poor just keep getting poor.
Amen.
It seems like people from other countries can come here and become a seller in 1 month and get $100,000 loan to open the business. While we who was brought here 400 years ago cannot even get a $50,000 loan to go to and get a college education. It seems like, I don't know about you, but it seems like the system is designed to help those who can help themselves. Jesus is in the business of helping those who cannot help themselves. There are about two reasons why John record this mirror. First mirror that was recorded was at the church where the he turned water into wine.
That's right.
The Jews were upset about this man carrying his bed on a Sabbath day. Secondly, John records this miracle to let us know this prompt that God came to do one thing, and that is to help those who really cannot help themselves.
All right.
We see in the scripture here, notice John began to say after this, the Greek word metatarsis, after this. He used it a lot. He used it over in Revelation 4, after this, after these things. Now, what was these things? This perhaps was the third miracle that Jesus had performed. Like I said, in the at the first one, where it changed the water into wine. And the second one was healing the nobleman's son. And then he had that conversation with Nicodemus, where he told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." If we're going to possess power, we must be born again. It ain't no way around it. You know, that's
come
the first base. We got to be born of the Spirit and of water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We see Jesus moving towards Jerusalem. The Bible said there was a feast there. We don't know which feast it was. We don't know whether it was a Pentecostal feast, the feast of Tabernacle, or the feast of Passover. But we do know that it was one of the feasts. And we see in verse 2 here, two things. That first thing, as a definite need of the feast. We got this port, Bethesda, which means house of mercy. Here Jesus is in the midst of all these sick people. Now the Bible said that some was blind, some was lame, some was willing, which was paralyzed.
Yeah.
Number 3, it was a multitude. It was, and it wasn't just like no true people, but it was a multitude of global people who were just sick and needed help, and they could not help themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And so we see these people here that is in there. They say it was a pitiful sight to see. So many sick people moaning and groaning, and it was a place where you would really have compassion on these people. You know, this make me think about when I go into the nursing home or when I go into the hospital and I see so many sick people and they can't help themselves. They want to be healed. They want to be set free from their infirmary. So let me just paint the picture here. They are just laying there, Lord have mercy, and they are out of their mind with suffering, pain, heartache, hollering, and they are just laying there at Bethesda, the house of mercy. And they want to be healed. This word, impotent, they were without strength, meaning they were without strength. They were without the ability to help themselves. So here we see they are paralyzed. Some are blind. Some are halt, as the Bible said, with the lame. God have mercy. They couldn't help themselves. So the world is like this. We live in a world of Bethesda where we got so many sick people.
Yes.
We don't have the ability to help themselves. And you notice in verse 4, it said a certain time the angel would come down to trouble the water, and whoever would be the first to jump in, they would be healed of whatever impotency they had.
Yes.
When I'm talking about emphasis, I'm not talking about the physical body. I'm talking about the spiritual person.
Yeah.
Spiritual people are emphasis today. They are powerless. They don't have the ability to do anything or incapable of changing their condition.
My Lord.
They are without strength. They are, as the Greek word, as thinner, as father, without power to help themselves. And the human race is infant today. the human being that is born in this world with no capability to change themselves. That's why the Bible in John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I tell you today that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. You got so many Christian, spiritual persons walk around because they are blind. They cannot see what they are walking into. They are halt. They cannot walk straight. They cannot walk or they cannot help themselves. Now, God don't intend for us to help ourselves. If that was the case, he wouldn't have sunk Jesus Christ. So he sent Jesus Christ to help, to save us, and to show us the way to him. If we're going to have power today, we must let Jesus not only just save us, but we must let him work do the work of God in us.
Yes.
See, God working on the inside of us.
Yes.
And what we do is work on the outside. The manifestation of God working on the inside of us will show on the outside of us. When we show that power, when we exercise that power that comes from God empower us to lay our hands on someone and they get healed.
Come on.
Or pray the prayer of faith and they get drug free. They come out of the old habit they got.
Yes.
God wants us to be a powerful being. He don't want us just saved. He wants us to be powerful. He wants us to possess the power that we need, not in our own strength now. Don't get me wrong. But in his strength. Yes. He wants us to work in his strength. It's through him, by him.
Yeah.
And let him do the work through us. So today I said, if we're gonna be powerful, if we're gonna be that witness for the Lord, if our life is gonna take on any kind of meaning, then we're gonna have to submit and commit our life unto God. And when we do that, maybe then we could see folks get healed, people get saved, people get delivered. We don't know. It's getting late in the evening. We just don't know, you know. But we need to make sure that we is in the right path of receiving the power to live right and to help others live right by accepting Jesus and letting Jesus do the work in them.
Amen.
I said to you today, I don't know what 2025 is going to bring, but I do know that I want to be a powerful Christian in 2025. I do know I want to see healing. I do know I want to see people delivered. I do know I want to see people come to Christ and make him Lord of their life.
Yes.
So I said to you all, pray for me. Pray for us. May this new year be profitable to all of us. And may we possess the power that God wants for us in his grace. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
Thank you so much, my sister.
Thank you. If you don't mind, I want to pray for Sister Virginia right now. She asked for prayer, and we're going to pray for her right now. We are going to, based on Isaiah 53, 4, and 5, we know that she is already healed. We shall see the manifestation of it right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, right now we thank you for our sister who brought forth a powerful word from the word, stood on the word, oh God. And Lord, you have called us. We already possess the power, the Holy Ghost power. You have told us in your word that we would do greater things. You have given us the power to lay hands on the sick. You have given us power right now, God, and we pray right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Sister Virginia's healing right now. We thank you for the restoration, oh God, that she will be able to walk. We thank you right now. Those muscles right now will be relaxed. Lord, we thank you that those muscles will also be built up right now in the name of Jesus. If there is a medication that she may be taking that may be affecting it right now in the name of Jesus, you will bring it to her attention in her sleep right now. And you will show her what it is. If there is some interaction with medication and food, God, whatever it is, show it to her right now. If it's a need for her to rest even the more, show it to her in the name of Jesus. But, Lord, I thank you, even in the midst of having this, God, she's still working in your vineyard. She is still praying for others. She is still interceding for others, oh God. She is still allowing your light to shine through her, for she is a reflection of your light. She's still being allowed to be the salt as well, to carry out Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Lord, we thank you right now for the healing. Lord, if it's a pinched nerve, you'll show it, God. Lord, whatever it is, but Lord, most of all, I pray that she continue to be the disciple you have called her to be. And she will be just like the 10, Lord, as they went to the temple to show themselves to the priest, their healing came. And Lord, as she goes, she will see her healing, and she will stand there and say, look what the Lord has done. She will declare it right now, look what the Lord has done. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the manifestation because we know she's already healed based on your word. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. King. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Cheryl Hitchcock. Hitchcock.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Yes, I thank God for the message and the all of the messages through song and the messenger, Minister Kennedy and Minister Deborah. I claim my healing in the prayer also. Dealing with a chronic, they say, sinus infection. But I'm going to do what I've heard tonight. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to let him do the work through me. So it is my prayer that the words of the song will set somebody free, will heal somebody, fulfill a need. And the song is, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, you are more than enough for us. Jehovah Rapha,
you
our healer.
Yes.
Your stripes, we have been we've been set free. Jehovah Shalom,
yes,
you are with us, and you supply all of our needs. You are more than enough, more than enough. We've been set free. Jehovah Shalom, you are with us, and you supply all of our needs. You are more than enough, much more than enough. You are more than enough. Amen.
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 Amen. More than enough. Yes,
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, are there other testimonies this evening?
Amen. Amen. Deacon Carter, do we have Sister Susie on the line tonight?
Yeah, I just got a text that she was on the line. So, Sister Susie, how are you this evening?
Yes, sir. I just been so inspired by the messages tonight.
And
thank God for the word. Yes, and you will go back and play it again while I should. Yeah. But good evening, everyone.
Good evening, sister. Good evening.
Good evening. So happy to have you all.
So happy to be on.
I would like to say hello to everyone. This is Sister Willametris. I would like to say I've enjoyed the messengers and the message. I have been truly blessed by song and messages. Thank you all for giving everyone a chance to say something. And I wish everyone a blessed and happy new year.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome. Thank good to hear your voice.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Anyone else? The word. We're ready for our last walk in the word this evening. So,
Is Sister Susie singing for us tonight?
Sister Susie, you want to bless us this evening?
Come on.
We have I say, yes, we have come this far.
never fail. Oh, yeah. Oh, singing. Oh, oh, oh. Hey, girl, I don't ever be discouraged when troubles come your way. You bear all your burdens and turn all your night into day. Yes, we have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. We're trusting in His holy word. He never fails. Yeah. Oh, sing it, oh, 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 oh. We've come this far by faith. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Until I die, I will trust
yes.
in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. I will trust in the Lord. Until I die, I'm gonna carry
heard clearly.
I hear you clearly.
Okay, I'll take it that your consent is the consent and agreement of all. On this night, we come and we're just so thankful to be a part of this great gospel gathering, this clearing house of God's Holy Spirit. And I just want to express my gratitude for the invitation to speak and to say a word before you tonight. It is 10:56 and on the central time zone and 11:56 in the eastern time zone. And so in four minutes, some of you are going to be crossing over into the new. And it is with that theme that we are going to be speaking to you. But before we go forward, I want to give honor to the angel of this ministry, my cousin, Dr. Deborah Jennings. And I just want to just ask her a question, and she can answer it later on sometime in life. But how is it that you can ask for everyone to go on mute and then proceed to preach the way you preach? It's next to impossible. I struggled. I almost hit that unmute button 1,000 times because so great was the anointing that went forth.
Amen.
And I also want to salute all of the other fellow parishioners, singers, speakers, preachers, testifiers. It was all good, and I believe that the Lord is pleased at this moment in time. Now, I want to draw your attention to the book of Mark, the second gospel. And we're going to talk about the story of where Jesus and the disciples crossed over to the other side.
All right.
And following right after they crossed over to the other side, they ran into a devil on the island after they crossed over. And I used to think that these were two separate and very distinct and different stories. But as I've come to understand the continuity of the word, I've come to understand that the two stories are really not separate, but the one is a continuation of the other. And so we're going to read it as such. It is 10:58 right now, Central, 11:58 Eastern, and I can't think of a better way to bring in the new year than reading the scripture of the Lord.
Yeah,
so we're going to start
yeah.
the fifth chapter. Let's back up. Let's start at the fourth chapter and the 35th verse. Now, I'm going to read out of the NIV version, and I hope that whatever version you're reading out of, you can find agreement with the text in which I am reading. The fourth chapter and the 35th verse reads, "That day, when evening came, he said," being Jesus, "to his disciples, let us go over to the other side." In your spirit, I want you to say with me, "the other side." "Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall or weather front came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern." Somebody say in your spirit, "in the back." "Sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the wave, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" Listen here. "They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this?'" I want you to repeat that in your spirit. "Who is this?" they asked. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." This chapter, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out the boat, a man with an impure, demonic, devilish spirit came from the tombs or the graveyard to meet him. this man lived, saying your spirit lived, this man lived in the cemetery. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, the tombs and the hills would he cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, do not torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure demonic spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he, being the demons, begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He, being Jesus, gave them permission, and the demonic, devilish, impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd of pigs, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank and were drowned. For a subject, I want you to think with me for a few moments. Crossing over in godly authority. Crossing over in godly authority. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come on this night, and we just ask you, Lord, first of all, for a greater increase of gratitude. Because, Father, Lord, we know, Lord, that you are the supplier of all our needs. We know, God, that you have the cattle on 1,000 hills. But, Father, Lord, it's not what you lack, but sometimes it's what we lack. We don't always say thank you like we should. We don't always lift you and give you glory, not for what we want, but what you've already done. So, Father, Lord, we want to start this year right now, Father, Lord, by lifting you up, Father, Lord, as Jehovah Jireh, as Jehovah Tiskanu, as Jehovah Nisi, as Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. Father, Lord, we've heard the request and the replies, Father, Lord, asking, Father, Lord, for healing in this hour. God, we come in with you that you will do everything, Lord, that we need. And we know, God, you are our all in all. We say thank you right now, Father, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, to open up the ears and the hearts of this your people. Speak a word, Lord, for your people are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All over this nation, just a few moments ago, in about 57 minutes in the central time zone, an hour and 57 mountain, 2 hours and 57 minutes in Pacific, there will be glasses raised, clanking, everyone silent, shouting in unison, cheers, and then Happy New Year. And with those words, we cross over from one side to the other side, from one year to the next. And with each new year comes the hope of new beginnings, a fresh start, new opportunities, brighter days ahead. Because, see, we understand that the new year offers the opportunity to turn the page, to leave some things behind, and to start anew. But, church, considering that most New Year's resolutions don't work out, it's time that we had an elevated spiritual discourse about what to do when things don't go as planned. Yeah, yeah. Well, what do we do if the weight loss doesn't occur? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do if the marriage somehow falls apart? What do we do as believers if the unexpected unexpected happens. Because, church, I'm here to remind you that if you're blessed to see enough New Year's days on the front end and enough New Year's Eves on the back end, that, church, if you just live long enough, you get to discover what the disciples discovered.
Yeah.
That the journey to the other side ain't always easy.
Yes.
We all want breakthrough. We all want prosperity. But what do we do if the unwanted comes knocking on your door?
Yes.
The Lord sent me by on this New Year's Eve, and now this New Year's Day, somebody ought to shout, thank you, Lord, that with this same New Year's Eve celebration and with the same spirit of joy and holiday cheer, that the Lord also has a couple of teaspoons of some spiritual grow-up. Because, see, church, if you live a little while, If you mess around and just hang out just a little while, if you don't do nothing and take yourself out the picture, if you let the Lord extend your days and roll your days on, you'll be able to testify that, and I believe it's somebody even in this space tonight that can testify that there are no years without heartbreak. There are no years without some sorrow. And see, sometimes as believers, we get in that space where we just want to believe that joining up with the Lord means happy days are here again and every second is going to be la-di-da-di. But I'm here to tell you that even in this year that we're already now in, there's no years where bad things don't happen to you.
There are no years.
I need you to say it in your spirit. No years. There are no years where bad things don't happen to your family. There are no years without problems. There aren't any years. Go back in your Rolodex of years. Tell me what year you had a year where there was no stress. There are no years without trials and without storms, without tribulations.
Yes.
There are no years without loss. And there are no years without death. And in fact, some of you can look back over your life and you can attest to this fact that in fact, some years were so rough, you couldn't wait to get to this night so you could turn the page. And in fact, some years, it might be different for you than it was for me. But there are some years, and everybody who's lived longer, everybody who's over the age of 7 can tell you that some years were so rough that you felt like the disciples, carest thou not that we perish?
Jesus.
Do you still care? Did I mess up? Lord, did I mess up so bad that you just took a break from keeping an eye on me? And it's been years like that, and it's okay if you say amen. It's all right if you're not just in the
amen.
Because, listen, church, it's not that the Lord doesn't care, but I expect to you that it's that the church has done an incomplete job
of preparing
its people for crossing over to the other side.
Come on.
We've done an incomplete job of preparing believers who have a heart and a passion and a love for the Lord about what it means and what it takes to cross over to the other side. Well, when it comes to New Year's messaging, we tell them about breaking. We tell them about manifestation. We tell them about seed time and harvest time. But when it comes to New Year's messaging, here's the question that's not being asked or answered. What do you do if you cross over to the other side?
My Lord.
And waiting on the other side for you is a devil. What do you do
if you walk over and the devil is waiting for you. I'm not talking about the person next to you. I'm not talking about somebody else. What do you do if the devil is waiting for you? And what happened in some of those years in the past, as you crossed over and as you went from one year to the next, nobody reminded you that just because you toasted a new year doesn't mean that the devil was part of the toast. Just because you threw a party doesn't mean that the devil was happy for you. Just because you have new plans for yourself doesn't mean that the devil also doesn't have new plans. And see, because you weren't balanced, because you were imbalanced, because you had spiritual ice cream and spiritual potato chips and spiritual cherries and not just meat, because you weren't balanced.
When
your man left you, you left God. When your marriage fell apart, you fell apart. When your big mama died, then your big testimony also died. When your money didn't act right, you too started to become spiritually bankrupt. Had a weak amen, had a weak praise, had a weak meditation, had weak
worship,
all because your finances ain't right. And see, some of y'all are living in that fairy tale space where you feel that that's not supposed to happen to me. You see, because I'm riding with Jesus. But what the Bible tells me is that so were the disciples.
That's right.
Some of you are confused. And you're confounded because it wasn't supposed to work out the way it worked out. Because, see, some of those years, I wasn't partying. Some of those years, I wasn't turning up. Some of those years, I was in the house of the Lord. Some of those years, I spent the new year in prayer. Some of those years, I was in watch night service. I was praising the Lord. And, see, I'm not supposed to run into the devil in the new year, because see, listen to me. I'm trying to tell you, brother preacher, listen to me. I cross over with Jesus, and the preacher is here to tell you so did the disciples. The disciples thought, just because I'm riding with Jesus, here's the disciples thought, because I'm riding with Jesus, every new year's resolution is automatic. Every hope and dream is a given. All things are supposed to work out, and nothing bad is supposed to happen to me. See, because I'm riding with Jesus. But instead, and if you're questioning me, just look back in the text. Instead, when they crossed over with Jesus, what they encountered, instead of la-di-da-di and everything is all good, what they encountered was the spirit of lunacy. What they encountered was the spirit of loneliness. Anybody ever get lonely? Come on. Don't act like this ain't you. What they encountered was a spirit of depression. Anybody ever been depressed? And I'm not talking about before you met Jesus. I'm talking about since you met Jesus. I'm talking about since you've been on this ride with the Lord. I'm talking about since you crossed over some crossings with the Lord. Anybody here ever had a situation where crossing over to the other side wasn't all you thought it was going to be?
Come on now. Yes,
and
sir.
And the disciples weren't prepared to run into a devil. Why? Why weren't the disciples prepared to run into a devil? Here's the reason why. And saints, we're already on the other side. So I don't have no time for you to miss this word. Why did they cross over to the other side and were unprepared? Because they crossed over with no authority. They had no authority. The authority of the believer was not with them. A couple of reasons they lost their authority. Number one, they were faithless. They weren't sure that God was God. You read at the end of the fifth chapter when they said, who is this?
Yes.
Who God was. Church, you can't have any questions about if God is God and walk in the authority of God.
Yes.
You can question other things. You can question the medication you're on. You can question whether or not the election was fair. You can question what's going to happen with my children. You can question a whole bunch of stuff, but you can't have any questions about is God God? Is he Jehovah Jireh? Is he my provider? Is he my all in all? Is he the redeemer of my soul? Is he my way out of no way? Is he my doctor in a sick room? Is he my lawyer in a courtroom? You've got to know that God is God. And the disciples were like many of us. Even in the very moment as he was making a way, they were still questioning, can he make a way? Even after he delivered them out of danger, they didn't know him as a deliverer. Even as he was providing them shelter during a storm, they still didn't know him as a shelter in a time of storm. Even as he saved their lives, they still didn't know him as a lifesaver or as a savior. Even after they called and he showed up, they didn't know him as a prayer-answering God. Even as he made the waters be at peace, they still didn't know him as a
preacher.
Everything, just like us, everything that they needed was right there in their face. And they still were asking, who is this? The second reason that they lost their authority is because these brothers were scared. These were some of the scaredest brothers. You talk about some scary rascals. You want to see 12 scary brothers. Now, bear in mind, the last scripture of the fourth chapter tells us that they were terrified. That was before. In your spirit, say before. I need you to catch this. That was before they ran into the crazy man. That was before they ran into the man that was breaking the chains. They were terrified before they saw all of that. When they got on that island, note your word. Note your word. It's in the Bible. Note the word. When they got to the fifth chapter, the Bible doesn't record them saying anything. The Bible has no record of them doing anything. Because they were scared to death. I believe those brothers were scared to breathe. I believe they were kind of hungry. I believe they were pushing each other. You go first. No, you go first. No. I ain't going first. I'm going first. These brothers were scared.
Yes.
The Lord can't do nothing with a scared saint.
Come on now.
The Lord can't do nothing with this church if we're scared. We've got to know our authority. We've got to know our authority. The disciples were spiritual punching bags. The devil showed them absolutely no respect. How do you know that the devil showed them no respect, preacher? Because the word says that the devil showed them no respect. Well, I just read the text. I don't see where the devil said that he showed them no respect. No, but the Bible says, if you look over a little deeper into the New Testament, the Bible says that when Satan came face to face with certain godly men, that Satan knew who those men was, and he acknowledged them. Don't believe me? The story of the seven sons of Sceva. The seven sons of Sceva saw Paul throw out and saw Paul take authority over the devil. He saw Paul. You know why Paul did that? Paul did that for the same reason you should be doing it. Paul did it for the same reason that I should be doing it. Paul knew that I walk in the authority, not of my flesh, not of myself, but the authority of God. And so Paul took authority over the devils. Now the set off in the corner and saw what Paul did. And then when they saw what Paul did, they walked up to the very next demon they saw. And they said, we adjure you by the name, not of the Lord that we know, but of the God that Paul preaches. We adjure you to come out of him. And the devil said, And the devil said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know.
That's right.
Who in the world are you?
Are
and
you?
Then the devil proceeded to strip them down and run them out naked. And
yes,
it's a lot
yes.
of us here. It's a lot of us here. We're dressed up. We dress up for service. We dress up as we go out into the community, and we're nothing but dressed up naked folk. We're nothing but dressed up naked streakers because the devil has stripped us because we don't have a relationship with the Lord. The Lord is not looking for you. The Lord told me, he said, don't make the title of this subject, don't make it crossing over with authority, because that's what the disciples did. They crossed over with authority. They crossed over with the one who had authority. They crossed over with Jesus. The Lord doesn't want us to cross over with authority. The Lord wants us to cross over in authority. Let this thing be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let our never-risen Lord live on the inside of you so that you can fight the devil on the devil's terms and defeat him on the terms of the Lord God Almighty. You ought to be able to say amen. You ought to be able to say amen. The one thing that Satan recognizes is got the authority. And he didn't recognize those disciples. What was their mistake? They crossed over to the other side without their authority. Now listen, I know some of us didn't walk the way we should have in our authority in 2024. But let me tell you, we're just on the edge of the island. We're just on the edge of the island. We haven't even permeated the perimeter of it yet. And I need you to know that God is God. And I need you that you walk in authority over the enemy. I need you to know that. I need you to know that. If you don't walk over, if you don't cross over on the other side with your authority, what's going to happen is you're going to have to stand by and hope, as our sister was reading earlier, you're going to have to hope that somebody comes and picks you up while the waters are troubled. You're going to have to hope that somebody comes while you stand by because you're too spiritually immature.
All right.
You're making spiritual battles. And because they were too immature, Jesus had to do all the heavy lifting. Jesus sent the demons into 2,000 swine. Watch this. That's not only 2,000 hogs. I need you to watch this. I need you to watch this. I need you to visualize this. 2,000 hogs in the sea. Look at all that meat. Look. I need you to see it. I need you to just picture it. Some of them turned on their sides. Some of them got their feet up. Some of them got their tails sticking up. Some of them are head first. Some of them are head up. 2,000 hogs. I need you to see it. I need you to see it. I need you to see it. But what you can't see is that that's not only 2,000 hogs, but that's 2,000 pigtails. That's 2,000 pig snouts. That's 2,000 pig tongues. That's 4,000 pig ears. That's 8,000 pig feet. That's 8,000 ham hocks. That's 10,000 pounds of salt pork. I need you to see it. I need you to see it. I need you to see it. It's not only 10,000 pounds of salt pork. It's 12,000 pounds of spare ribs. And it's not only that, it's 26,000 pounds of pork chops.
It's not just that,
it's 26,000 pounds of bacon and 56,000 pounds of sausages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over 100,000 pounds of chitlins. Why is that important? Because these are all meals. I need you to catch this. These were all meals that were never prepared.
I hear you.
These were all dinners that were never served.
I hear you.
These are all appetites that were never fed. These are all business deals. I need you to see this. These are all business deals that never occurred. These are investments and transactions that never took place. This was revenue that never materialized. This was savings floating in that lake, savings that were missed out on because of an encounter with the devil. Now watch this now. The 2,000 pigs at the bottom of the sea represent what is. I need you to stay in your spirit with me. What is. It represents what is. But watch this. All that other meat represents what could have been. It represents what could have been. And in all of that, saints, there's a word for you. Don't you let what could have been in 2025 float away just because you run into a devil on the other side.
All right.
Don't you let what you could have become just because you run into a devil on the other side. Don't you let your destiny be in the could have been category. Because you run into a devil on the other side. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you don't often hear in church. You don't hear it often enough, and the disciples didn't know this. I know you want to hear staying alive in 25. We shall spiritually thrive in 25. And I'm okay with that. But my text tells me, as you cross over to the other side to get ready, because the devil will be waiting on the other side. Church, we need to be on business in 2025.
Yes,
they
yes.
They recognize those that arise in authority. When, somebody say when in your spirit, when, not if, when Satan comes in your face in 2025, walk in your authority.
Yes.
You need to make a case against the enemy. Yeah. You need to stand flat-footed, 10 toes down on the ground, and you need to stand flat-footed and look whatever the devil throws your way in the face. Because I'm here to tell you, church, a scary attorney is no attorney at all. What
yes.
is a scary attorney? You need to have that Johnny Cochran boldness. You need to be bold in the face of the enemy. And you need to tell Satan, I make a case against you. The charge is attempted murder. Yes, attempted murder. And the only reason it's attempted is not because you didn't kill nobody or you killed him. You killed him. But here's the thing, and this turned it from murder to attempted murder. When you killed him, he refused to stay dead. He refused to stay in the sepulcher.
Come on now.
He did not get up. He refused to let your power take power over him. So
yes.
I'm here to tell you, first of all, you're a failure.
Yes.
You're a failure. Then I know you're the father of all lies, and you're going to deny that you did anything. And so as exhibit A, I want to submit this swab of blood. The blood is the blood of Jesus. The
yes,
blood is the
yes.
blood. 2,000 years ago, I submit your honor. I submit the blood. I submit the blood. And where this blood came from, there was much more. But I want to tell you, Pastor Allen, if I could just have a moment, I want to just say something about the blood. It reaches to the highest mountain. The blood that gives
the
me
blood.
Strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. I tell you, Satan, you got to release them. You got to let our families go. You got to let our children go. You got to let our lives go. You got to let our finances go. You got to let our health go. I plead the blood. I know you don't want to hear this, Satan, but I plead the blood. I stand behind the blood. I'm washed by the blood.
Yes.
I plead the blood. The blood. I plead the blood of Jesus against you, Satan. Yeah, and then say, listen, I'm not quite done with you yet. Take your seat.
All right.
I'm not examining you, Satan. I know you ain't have much to say, and you're not going to have much to say. Let me talk.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a side order of scripture. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes, sir.
For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. How are you going to have a table prepared in the presence of your enemy if you think you're not going to run into a devil? The Lord has the devil there. He plans for the devil to be there so that you can have your dinner, your feast in front of the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The Bible says, he shall call upon me. She will call upon me, and I will answer.
Yes.
I will be with you. I need you to put your hand on your chest right now. I need you to, don't be like the disciples. Don't be scared. Don't be sitting up in your house scared. You please, if you're scared in your own house, you need deliverance right now. Put your hand on your chest. And you let God know that I hear you, Lord. And the Lord said, I will be with him, meaning I will be with you. I need you to say in your spirit, and if you're bold enough and feel like saying it, I need you to say it out loud. God is with me. God is with me.
With me.
God is with me. And he will deliver me. And then the Bible says, thanks be to God who always causes our soul to triumph. The Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Yeah.
The Bible says, though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, none of it shall come nigh me. The Bible says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. That's why, church, as I go to my seat, as I bring this spiritual discourse to a close, I got to start the same place I finish and finish the same place I start. That's why if nobody brought a Thanksgiving in their heart, if nobody, if I'm the only one, I don't think I am, but in case I was, it's all good anyway. If I'm the only one who has a thank you, Lord, in their heart, a thank you, Jesus, on their lips, a thank you, Messiah, in their spirit, if I'm the only one, it's all right, because I can tell you, church, I don't need no help. I can tell you, church, and some of y'all are the same way. You don't need everybody to get along. You don't need to have a majority vote before you can praise God and lift God. And
come on now.
Some of y'all don't need three votes or the four votes. Some of y'all don't need two votes. Some of y'all, all you need is the vote of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And while you're driving your heart, while you drive in your car, you have some of the best church. You have some of the best church you ever want to have. There's praying. There's preaching. There's speaking. There's singing. And you don't have to be able, that's the thing I love about the Lord. You don't have to be able to sing for the Lord to call it beautiful. The Lord said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sound like noise, but in the ears of the angels, in the ears of the heaven, it's sweet, sweet sound. I don't need nobody else for me to say, much obliged, much obliged, much obliged, sir. Much obliged, sir, much obliged. Much obliged, thank you for how you kept me. Thank you for how you delivered me. Y'all got to excuse me now. Y'all just got to excuse me. Please excuse me while I check off my list. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Thank you, Lord, for being my keeper. Thank you, Lord, for being my way out. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me out. Thank you, Lord,
sir,
for protecting my mind. Thank you, Lord, for regulating my mind. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Even as the devil tried to take me out, even as the devil tried to pull me out of this earth, thank you, Lord, that you've been a doctor in a sick room. Thank you, Lord, that you've been in a courtroom. Thank you, Lord, that you've worked out in the devilishness of the enemy in my behalf.
Lord. Thank you.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. Nor his seed.
Thank you, Lord.
Nor
his
seed
begging
bread. Do we have any of the seed of God in here tonight? I've
never
seen the righteous forsaken. He didn't forsake you in 24, and he's not going to forsake you in 25.
Yes.
Seen the righteous. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm just in a spirit of agitation.
And I'm
going to agitate. I'm going to agitate the devil because that's what I do. I'm going to agitate the devil. Now, if you're like the disciples, it's okay. You can stand by and you can watch. But I'm going to agitate the devil right here, right now. Yeah, I'm going to agitate the devil. Yes. I know that I have authority over the devil. I know that I'm of God. I know it. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to agitate the devil, and I'm going to give the devil an in advance praise. I'm going to praise him in advance. I'm not going to wait. Come on. I'm not going to wait for the healing. I'm going to give God an in advance praise. I'm going to give him an in advance thanks. Come on.
Yes.
You can sit on the sidelines like the disciples if you want. But if you know that you have the authority, come on. Let's give God an in advance praise. An in advance thank you. A thank you in advance of the healing. Thank you in advance of the promotion. Thank you in advance of the elevation. Thank you in advance of you working it out. Thank you in advance. Thank you, Lord, from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. You work things out. You work all things out. Thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do in July. Thank you for what you're going to do in August. Thank you for what you're going to do in September. Thank you for what you're going to do in November. Thank you. And if the devil comes, all I got to say is bring it on. Because I stand in authority over you. I make a case against you. You have not defeated me ever, and you will never, ever defeat me. Hallelujah.
Never.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Who
are in office? Our.
I guess the Lord set his soul on fire. Amen.
Yes, he did.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That is so long
time.
Thank
you, yes, Jesus.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord. Now, here's what I need you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to stand proxy in place of your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked for healing tonight, and you may not be the one hurting, but I need you to stand in proxy for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Believers shall lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
And they shall recover.
Shall recover.
Put your hand on yourself. Everybody should have their hand on themselves somewhere. Put your hand on yourself. And I need you to proclaim. And this time I don't want nobody's mouth shut. I want everybody, whether you're on mute, you can come off mute. You can come off mute. Done. You can come off mute. Come off mute. Let's give the devil a nervous breakdown. The devil don't want to hear collectiveness. The devil don't want to hear this sharing. The devil don't want to hear this unity. And we're going to give the devil a nervous breakdown. I don't care if it's 7 of us, 15 of us, 30 of us, or 30,000. A few, just a few. One can put 1,000 to flight. And 2 can put 10,000 to flight.
Yes.
So I need to put our voices together, and I want you to repeat after me, Satan.
Hey.
Satan. I can't hear you. We're going to shake the thunder. Take your device off mute. Take your device off mute. We're going to make sure the devil hears us. I need you to say it with me and don't say it weak. Satan.
Satan.
You are defeated.
You are defeated.
There you go. There you go. Satan.
Satan.
Come on. Say it. Satan.
Satan.
You are defeated.
Your kingdom will come down.
Your kingdom will come down. It will.
Come down. I stand in proxy for my neighbor. Satan, I need you, and I'm just praying now. You can just pray with me. Satan, I need you to get your hands up off this body of believers. I need you to understand that we're not amongst the 12. We are not amongst the 12 in number that was scared of you. We're not afraid of you, Satan. We know our word, and we're not scared of you. And we command you. Yes, you know our name. You know my name. And I don't care that you know my name. You can't do nothing with me because I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. And I'm declaring by the authority of the power of God, I'm commanding you to take your hands off of this God's people.
Amen.
I'm commanding you even as you touch yourself, that by proxy, the touch of their faith will go over to their neighbor. And, Lord, I'm asking you to heal from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. God, I'm asking you to drive out diseases that are known and diseases that are laying latent, ready to come out. We abort the plan of the enemy. We abort diseases on schedule to come this year. We abort them. We abort them. You need to drive those diseases into the ocean. You need to find some pigs, and you need to drive that into the ocean, because we stand in victory. We stand in authority, and we stand in belief. And we are overcome.
Yes.
We are the heritage of Jacob. And we are above and not beneath. We are above and not below. We are the head and not the tail. Give God some glory. Give God some praise.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 That was powerful. That was
art. Yes, it was.
Ooh, Lord. Ooh, Lord.
It's
Lord.
Art.
Yeah. Amen. 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 I'm thinking about now here, sitting in the choir stand, looking down at the left-hand corner where Sister Pearl Gardner was sitting, and she strike up that song every New Year's Eve. New Year's night, and she would say, it's another new year, but I ain't gone. It's another new year, but I ain't gone. It's another new year, but I ain't gone. I praise the Lord that I ain't gone. I had to cry sometime, but I ain't gone. I had to cry sometime, but I ain't gone. I have to cry sometime, but I ain't gone. I thank the Lord that I ain't gone. I have to sit sometime, but I ain't gone. I was sick sometime, but I ain't gone. I was sick sometime, but I ain't gone. Oh, praise the Lord that I ain't gone. It's another new year, but I ain't gone. It's another new year, but I ain't gone. It's another new year, but I ain't gone. Oh, I praise the Lord that I ain't gone. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for a wonderful evening. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And amen.
Bless God.
Amen.
Amen.
What's wrong? Marcus asked, there's a hearing scheduled for Amara's long-term placement. Ms. Taylor explained.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Want to thank all of you for joining us in this New Year's Eve. And those of us that are in Eastern Standard Time, we have crossed over into 2025. Happy New Year. Those that are in Central, you got about 14 more minutes. And I want to just thank all of you. Thank God for this message that came forth tonight, knowing that we as disciples, ambassadors of God, we walk in authority, the authority that is within us. And just want to thank all of our songsters tonight, all of those that came and gave testimonies on tonight. Thank each of you this morning. It is morning time. It is morning time. Morning time. So good morning. If there is someone else that want to share, certainly our line is still open. But want to say good morning to all of you and Happy New Year. And know this, that we are disciples and children of God. And we don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. Let us stay focused and stay on Him with Holy Spirit working on the inside of us. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Minister Singleton.
Good morning. Good morning. My favorite time of the day. Good morning. My favorite time of the day. Good morning. Thank
Good
God
morning.
For the word tonight. Thank you, Sister Virginia. Minister Virginia, thank you.
You're
Pastor
welcome.
Vincent, thank you. Sister Cheryl, thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Lynn, for coming. Sister Susie, thank you, Sister Ruby. Oh, definitely thank our MC tonight, Deacon Carter tonight. Amen. Thank you.
It's about stability and what's
my Lord,
strength.
My Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Carolyn Felton. Thank you. Amen. He's more than enough. Hallelujah. Anyone else tonight, this morning, excuse me, anyone else this morning want to give a testimony before we close the line off? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Victory is mine. Amen.
Yeah.
Pastor
Amen.
Vincent made Pastor Vincent that when he was preaching, I thought about it. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan,
get me behind. Victory is mine.
Mm-mm.
Glory. Bless you all. Bless all you saints. Bless you. Have a prosperous new year.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good night. Good morning.
We're going to sign off, saints. You all be blessed.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Hello.